Welcome to Health Centers on the Front Lines podcast. I'm your host, Ben Money. Community health centers mark 1 year of bringing COVID vaccinations to the underserved. The Health Center COVID-19 vaccination program was launched by the Biden administration to ensure equity and bring the vaccines directly to hard-to-reach populations. It's been a historic effort and a documented success. In places where health centers are located, there are lower rates of COVID infections and death. To help us mark this milestone, we're joined by Jim McCray, Associate Administrator for the Bureau of Primary Health Care with the Health Resources and Services Administration. Jim, welcome to Health Centers on the Front Lines.
Thank you so much, Ben. It's great to be with you today. Thank you.
Great to have you. So let's get started. You know, as I said before, 1 year ago, our fight against the pandemic changed with the availability of vaccines, and health centers were finally able to bring the vaccines directly to patients. This marked a turning point in the health center efforts to protect the underserved populations from COVID-19 and ensure equity. Considering the clinical vulnerabilities of health center patients, why weren't health centers included in the initial round of vaccine allocations?
Well, Ben, it's hard to believe that it was just a year ago that the vaccine program got started. It seems to me in some cases like it was just yesterday, and in other cases, it seems like a lifetime ago. In terms of the health center program, when the Biden administration came on board, as you know, vaccines were very limited in the beginning. And the real effort behind getting the vaccines out was to try to reach as many people as quickly as we could. And so, as you know, there were mass vaccination clinics set up. There was the federal pharmacy program that was set up, 40,000 locations all across the country. But the Biden administration quickly recognized the need for equity in its distribution of vaccines. And in fact, that was one of the critical pieces that they saw to making sure that the vaccines were available and accessible to the entire country and all of the people in the country. And of course, who did they think of to go to? Of course, it was community health centers. So when that became a priority, which it happened on day one of the Biden administration, they reached out to us to engage health centers in the whole vaccination rollout process.
So we know that the initial COVID allocation effort started with 250 health centers and then gradually grew from there. Can you share with us what are some of the early logistical challenges that occurred?
So as I mentioned, when the Biden administration came on board, they very quickly came to us in the Bureau of Primary Health Care and said, we need you to set up a vaccine program. We need it to go out to the health centers, and we need to make sure that we do this quickly. So they asked us, how long would it take? And we said it would take us probably about 4 weeks. And they said, okay, you've got 2 weeks. So our team scrambled to try to figure out how to set this up. And I think we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that. But one of the things early on was that the vaccine supply was very limited. And so we actually started with an initial group of 25 health centers. And we actually started with those 25 health centers that were focused on populations that were the most underserved in the health center program. So that included health centers that were serving individuals that were experiencing homelessness, migrant seasonal farm workers, residents of public housing, as well as individuals with limited English proficiency. Because again, the real focus was on equity and making sure that, to be honest, the patients that are in some cases the hardest to reach and would not be served by those mass vaccination clinics or by the federal pharmacy program could actually get access to the vaccines. So we worked to do that. We worked very closely with the health centers. We rolled it out. And by April, so from like February 9th till mid-April, we were actually able to roll it out to all health centers.
I got to tell you, that's impressive to have that amount of logistical challenge overcome in such a short period of time is really to be commended. And, you know, obviously we've not yet walked the last mile of this pandemic, but we're certainly learning some important lessons about confronting a global health crisis, such as the importance of a local approach to bring vaccines to people and also to build trust. Why are health centers ideally suited for this task?
It's a great question. And I think, again, early on in the Biden administration, they recognized the critical role that health centers play. I mean, health centers are serving the individuals in this country who have been most disenfranchised by the healthcare system, the traditional healthcare system. But most importantly, health centers are trusted. They're trusted in their communities because their boards are actually patient majority, as we all know. But also many of the employees at the health center are local residents. In addition, health center patients feel a real connection to their providers. They've had, in some cases, lifelong partnerships with their particular providers. They've helped deliver babies. They've seen children grow up. They provided care to people's parents. And they're there. They're located in the community. And so one of the things that I think we've all seen and the critical importance, again, of health centers is that they're trusted. And they're trusted to listen to their patients and help them, you know, if they do have some concerns about the vaccine. And we didn't hear that initially. You know, the first sort of big push, of course, were all those that were very interested in getting vaccinated. That was a huge push and trying to get as many of those individuals vaccinated as we could. But over the last several months and, you know, last several even weeks, we've actually seen continued success with the health center program in even those initial vaccinations. You know, I actually was just recently interviewed by another publication and they said, are you still struggling with getting people to get that initial vaccination? And I said, it's not a struggle. It's just meeting people where they are and talking to them, addressing their concerns, addressing, you know, what misinformation may they have received, and really talking about what the benefits of those vaccines are, that they prevent hospitalization, they prevent death. And so in terms of our national numbers, we actually, and this is pretty remarkable, I had to look at the data again, but we're averaging about 50,000 initial vaccines every week in the health center program. And that has been consistent for the last several months and continues. Even when you talk about vaccine hesitancy and other things, in the health centers, they really are showing that there's still opportunities to get people vaccinated, which is the most important thing at this point.
Yeah, and it sounds like the power of relationships and the relationships that the community health centers have with their community, with their patients, as family, as neighbors, really makes a difference. And one of the things that we've learned a lot in COVID-19 is about the importance of health disparities and why equity is so important. What are some of the things from the Bureau standpoint have you learned and you would continue to put into practice?
So I would say we've all learned a lot of lessons from COVID. We've really learned about the significant inequities that do exist in our health care system, as well as the greater society. We've also recognized, however, that there are opportunities to address those. And in fact, there are effective ways to address it. And again, health centers really are at the forefront of doing that type of work. One of the things that health centers have been highly successful in doing is actually reaching people whose language is not primarily English. And so we've seen significant efforts to make sure that different publications and education materials are available in a variety of different languages. We've also seen that certain patient populations, to be honest, given the history of healthcare in this country, are much more hesitant or, to be honest, and very reasonably distrustful of the healthcare system. And so, again, health centers over time and over the years have been able to build up that trust. And so what we've seen in the vaccine program is that over 75% of the patients that are receiving vaccines through that program are racial and ethnic minorities. We've also seen a significant number of individuals with limited English proficiency. Out of the 8 million or so that have received the vaccine program, have received vaccines through the vaccine program, over 2 million are limited English proficiency. We also have reached almost a little over 300,000 residents of public housing, almost 300,000 migrant seasonal farm workers, over 200,000 people experiencing homelessness. In addition, we also are providing services to children. We've almost reached the 1 million mark in the vaccine program for children under 18. So again, health centers have really proven over and over again the importance of the model of care that health centers provide, being patient-centered, being community-rooted, and working with people where they are. So that's been critical.
And one thing with COVID, too, is that they worked in partnership with other organizations and outside of the clinic walls and into the community. And one of the things we saw is that COVID exposed the impact of social drivers of health during this pandemic. In what ways will the successful work of health centers in the community, in partnership with other community-based organizations, change the operational approach and flexibilities and guidance provided by the Bureau?
Yeah, and actually, Ben, if You actually reminded me of another sort of critical point about why health centers were so effective. They didn't stay in their four walls. So one of the things that we saw health centers do is actually go out into the community themselves. And then, as you mentioned, also doing it in partnership with others. So health centers to this point have done over 55,000 different community events. And that means everything from going out in mobile vans to go out to the fields for migrant seasonal farm workers, going out to the homeless shelters, going to schools, going to community centers, going to faith-based organizations, going to churches. They went to where people are located. And they partnered with those other organizations to get the word out and to set up opportunities that, you know, kids are in school, people are in nursing homes, people are at community centers. Let's set up a vaccination clinic. Let's do a mobile pop-up van. Let's do something that really makes sense. We've done thousands of community-based events with schools in terms of our partnerships. And that's critically important. The other thing is that, you know, for a lot of our patients, you know, like anything else, even health-related, sometimes health is not the top priority. And so, again, meeting people where they are. So if they're addressing one other aspect in their life, creating it and making it easier for them to be able to get vaccinated was a critical piece that we saw. So, again, not staying in the four walls of the health center, expecting patients to come to us, but really going out into the community where the people are located and making it as easy and accessible and understandable as possible was critical. And those partners that you mentioned were absolutely essential in terms of our work together. In fact, one of the things that we did very early on was partner with our colleagues in the Department of Housing and Urban Development to really support partnerships between housing authorities and health centers. We did a similar activity with our colleagues in FDA and CDC around migrant seasonal farm workers. And most recently, we've been working with the disability community and the aging networks to see if we can create more partnerships there around vaccinations. Again, using those networks, using that sort of partnership to really get vaccines where people need them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been impressive, the amount of work that's happened in just this year. And this is not even including all the testing and prevention work that happened in the prior year. And what we're seeing now are some data, as you indicated earlier, that indicate that health centers are really doing the job they're supposed to do, especially ensuring that health equity and COVID vaccinations occurs. Is there any other data points that you'd like to share around closing those equity gaps?
So just a couple of things, Ben, which I think are really important. So I've talked primarily about the vaccine program, but as you know, the vaccine program was actually set up to be a supplement to what health centers may be receiving through their state jurisdictions. So overall, health centers have provided almost 20 million vaccines. I think the latest number is about 19.2 million vaccines overall. About 8.2 million of those were through the direct health center vaccine program. But even for the 19 million, almost 70% of the patients receiving the vaccines were racial and ethnic minorities. We saw similar aspects with what health centers were doing with testing. So they've done almost 20 million tests at this point. And again, over 60% were for racial and ethnic minorities. We're starting to see similar statistics as we're rolling out new programs around therapeutics. We anticipate seeing similar things with respect to our new mask program. And again, and over again, health centers are being recognized for that critical role of addressing health equity and, to be honest, health inequity in this country. So congratulations to all of our health centers and a big thank you, of course, for all of their great work.
Jim, you knew that health centers would step up to the table. And you also knew that this was going to be a heavy lift. But what has surprised and impressed you about the health center COVID-19 vaccination program?
Oh, there are so many things, Ben, that have impressed me about this program. I, going back to the very beginning, we had never run a program like this before in the Bureau of Primary Healthcare. Never. And when we got the challenge to set it up in 2 weeks, our team sort of all looked at each other and said, how are we going to be able to do this? And so we all rolled up our sleeves and we took what we knew from working with you all for many, many years and basically called upon you to help us make sure that this program was successful. So, you know, we started with that initial 25. We then expanded it out to 250. We then went to 700 and then we went to all health centers. But every step of the way, We worked with you, the National Association of Community Health Centers. We worked with our state primary care associations. We worked directly with the health centers. And I have to say, our staff really did amazing work. They literally would be calling health centers or receiving phone calls from health centers on Saturdays, Sundays, till 11 o'clock during the week to make sure that we could get vaccines to the health centers, because we knew if we could get the vaccines to the health centers, they would do, as I describe it, their magic to get it to the patients that needed it most. And that's what we saw over and over and over again. And I think the remarkable part is that, I wouldn't say it's remarkable, but it's just, again, a recognition that health centers can deliver and do deliver. I had the opportunity just a couple of weeks ago to talk to some congressional staff who are looking at the whole vaccine rollout across the country. And they asked a lot about how did we set up this program and how are we so successful? And we went through exactly the same things that we're talking about. And at the end of the conversation, they said to me, and I will say this now to you all, the one constant thing that we heard over and over again was the critical role that health centers played. And that was in every state. Every state recognized the enormous contributions that health centers were making to make sure that vaccines were administered and that they were administered equitably. And they said, we did not hear that in any other place, but in the health center program, we heard that over and over again from every single state. And so again, that's just a testimony to the amazing work that health centers do every day in their communities, they do in their states, and they do, of course, for the nation.
And Jim, you know, with COVID-19 pandemic, it really forced health centers and state and local public health to work in a more coordinated fashion, not only due to initial resource shortages, but also just, you know, coordinating efforts. I think there's some great lessons learned about public health and health centers working in partnership. And how do you envision this going forward, health centers working more closely with state and local public health, particularly as pertains to future public health emergencies?
I think that's a great question, Ben, and I don't think at this moment we have the answer about what it's going to look like. I think what we did see, however, over and over again, was much more of an integration of primary medical care with public health. And to be honest, public health reaching out to us to help them do everything from contact tracing to, of course, immunizations, but testing. And really, to be honest, asking health centers to do more basic public health services than maybe they'd ever been called upon to do before. And again, with that lens of reaching the patient populations that may not have been as trusting or as comfortable going to their local health department as maybe they were to their local health center. So over and over again, health centers were seen as the place to go to reach those who may be the most hesitant, most maybe the most vulnerable, may have the least access to services. And I think that will continue going forward at a minimum. In terms of the exact roles and responsibilities, I think that's part of what we need to work out over the next several years in terms of what makes the most sense. Because in some cases, you know, it made absolute sense. We were in a crisis, and so health centers stood up. But there's also the benefit over time of being really clear about what we can do and what we can do well and what health departments can do and can do well. But I think the one thing that I really hope we have broken down is that siloing, that stovepiping, so that we actually work more closely together in terms of our work. And so if anything that I'm committed to doing, and I know you all are from where you sit, is really making sure that we continue to support that integration of primary care and public health, and do it in ways that are focused on our patients and our communities in terms of what makes the most sense for them and what makes most sense for us working together.
And in my work in the pandemic, in communities, I would have people say to me, you know, it's not so much that we don't trust the vaccine. We don't really trust necessarily who's administering the vaccine. But for health centers, it was different. It was that relationship. It was that trust. It was, you know, that constant presence in the community that really helped to alleviate some of those barriers, fear, the concern, the uncertainty.
And I was going to say, Ben, if I could just add, one of the things that, you know, and I've had several health centers tell me this story, and, you know, what they share with me was, you know, they would talk to their patients and they would talk to them about the benefits of the vaccine. And they would say, the patient said, I'm just not ready yet, or I'm just not comfortable yet. And they'd say, okay, just come on, come back, you know, whenever you're ready. They might come back another time, have the same conversation. I hear what you're saying, doc, or I hear what you're saying, you know, whoever it was, the nurse, the community health worker, the front office person, just not ready yet. And what they said was just keeping the door open. And they said, you know, it may not have been the first time, it may not have been the second time, it may not have been the third time, the fourth time, fifth time, but sometimes on that sixth time, people are like, okay, I'm ready. You know, I see that it actually has a benefit. I see that, you know, this actually does prevent hospitalization. It actually does prevent death. And I'm seeing more of my friends and colleagues actually have the vaccine. And so it makes a difference. And I think, again, we are not in a sprint in the health center program. That's sort of never been what we're about. We're about that long-lasting, trusting relationship that really over time, I think, delivers the results. So we may not always be the fastest, although I would say in most cases we are pretty fast, but we have that long-range view. And I think that's what we're seeing in our vaccine program. So, you know, again, that's why I believe we see these numbers continue with those initial vaccines, 50,000 every week. Initiated vaccines. I mean, just think about that. You know, you hear like, you're not going to be able to get anybody. No, we are. And we are in the health center program. Sorry, I just get really excited about that, Ben, just seeing what happens at the health center level.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, is there an effort underway to capture, not just anecdotally, but even with more data, some of the key approaches and strategies to addressing vaccine hesitancy in general, as a means of being able to have more approaches to addressing health inequities?
Great question, Ben. So one of the things I think, and I know our health centers sometimes like it, sometimes don't, but we have been doing a biweekly survey for almost 2 years now in the pandemic. And it has been incredibly valuable to see what health centers are doing and who they're reaching and how they're doing it. And so having that survey data up and available to everyone is really important. So if you don't know, go to www.hrsa.bphc and you can get access to that information. But one of the things we've also done beyond data is begin to collect stories. And so we're actually setting up on our website a storyboard to address all of the different facets of vaccines, testing, therapeutics, but with real stories of health centers and what they have done to actually overcome hesitancy or outreach, or, you know, how do you reconfigure your practice to be able to do something that none of us anticipated 2 years being expected to do, to be able to now do it as part of your routine business. So we have a number of those stories up on our website that people can take a look at. And for me, what's really important is they're telling, you know, both their challenges as well as their successes. You know, often we just talk about the success, but we've actually asked them to talk about how do they overcome that. And, you know, a few of the things that we've seen is that, especially now that, you know, potentially very soon, shortly, I think the FDA is actually looking at it today, are vaccines for children that are 6 months to 4 years old. One of the critical things we've heard from our health centers is being able to talk to their pediatrician. And so, again, the administration is recognizing that health centers are critical. And so providing vaccines directly to health centers for their pediatric staff to be able to have those conversations with, you know, potentially concerned parents, critically important. One of the other things is being able to go out into the community, going door to door. We found that with many health centers that, you know, again, going out into the community. And even setting up vaccine clinics or pop-up things or mobile vans, that's great. But sometimes it even requires just literally knocking on the door and just saying, you know, have you thought about getting a vaccine? No pressure, but just want to tell you about the benefits and tell you that it's available and accessible. And it might be just right down the street and you can do it for yourself or for anybody in your family. So again, there are so many stories, there's so many incredible successes, and we're trying to capture those on our website.
You know, the last year we've been so focused on vaccinations, really as, you know, a means of being able to arrest this pandemic. But it's important to note that health centers didn't just pivot to vaccines. They also continued to provide primary care services and expand telehealth services in a variety of ways. So what are some of the important models that you hope will stick around after we end this public health emergency?
So one of the things that we definitely saw with health centers is a couple of different things. One, and you mentioned it, that pivot to virtual care, telehealth. At the heart of the pandemic, over 50% of health center visits were done either virtually or by audio only. And just to give you a sense of perspective, before the pandemic, less than 0.5% of visits done in health centers were ever virtual. And in fact, less than 50% of our health centers, I think about 43% of our health centers were doing telehealth before COVID. After COVID, it's over 99%. So pretty much every health center pivoted to do that. And I think one of the things that came out from doing telehealth is the convenience and the accessibility that it affords to our patients without having to take time off of work or, you know, having to come in for maybe a more routine visit to just do, you know, a check of your blood pressure or a check of your medications or whatever it may be. And so I think one of the things that we see sticking over time is more of a balance between in-person and virtual care. We're not sure exactly where it is. Right now, we're at close to about 20% in terms of the data that we're seeing. But what ultimately is going to be that optimal thing? So I know we can't go back to where we were, where we were less than 0.5%. Not sure we're going to get anywhere close to 50% because people still like to come in. But what is that right balance between virtual and in-person? I think that's a critical piece. The other thing that we definitely saw during the pandemic was, and legitimately so, people were afraid to come in to the health center. They were afraid to come in for their basic screenings, whether that was cancer screenings, blood pressure, well child visits, all those types of things. And I think one of the things that we're all working on now is how do we bring people back into the clinics and make them feel comfortable and, to be honest, address some of the pent-up demand for services. I think that's going to be a key part of our work going forward. And again, it just put a spotlight on the importance of primary health care in controlling some of those conditions, because we have seen excess death, not just from COVID, but from some of the lack of care that's been provided. So it's really put a greater spotlight on the importance of doing those screenings, doing those well child checks, getting, you know, people into care and having a health home. So we've definitely have seen the importance of all of that with respect to what health centers do. I think the last piece that I would just echo is, again, the whole focus on the social determinants of health. We know it in the health center program. That's part of our history. That's part of why we exist. But with COVID, it really has put a greater spotlight on the importance of addressing issues of housing insecurity, food insecurity, intimate partner violence, and really coming up with strategies of how to address those issues in ways that make the biggest difference. And one of the key things that we've actually seen with our health centers is more and more engagement with the community through community health workers, patient educators, peers. And I think that's something that I really hope continues and grows in the health center program as we go forward.
This podcast was produced by HeartCast Media.